Father, Lord God, we humbly come before you with the time, spending time in your presence, Lord. Lord God, we thank you, Father, for this time. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Father. Father, God, you have given us the opportunity to be able to worship you and adore you. So, Lord God, I pray that, God, as we begin to go forth in a Bible study, I pray, God, that you be glorified and that you be lifted up. I pray right now, God, that you would use me for your as your vessel, that I be that which you desire me to be, that I will say what you desire me to say, that, Father, it's not my will, but thine will be done. So, Father God, I pray that right now, God, that, Father, those that come under the sound of my voice, that, Father, they'll have a word of healing, a word of deliverance, a word of nurturing, a word of stability, something that will give them hope and give them something in the times that they may be facing. Father, I come in faith, come in agreement with them, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I stand in faith, covenant agreement, that the enemy shall not destroy them, and shall not win, and shall not allow them to fall or to falter. But Lord God, they have gotten the victory through Christ Jesus. And Lord God, I stand in faith, covenant agreement with them that stand in your word and on your word. I pray, Father, that right now, God, by the sound of my voice, that, God, you'll begin to do a new work in them, that you'll begin to move by your spirit, move by your grace, move by your power, move by your authority, move by your anointing. I pray, Father, that right now, by the authority of Jesus Christ, that, Lord God, that those that are desiring to be saved, that, God, they'll begin to turn their hearts and their minds to you right now. I pray right now, by the authority of Jesus Christ, that, Lord God, those that need healing, needs deliverance, need to be set free. Father, I pray that, God, you touch them in a mighty way. And Lord God, let this day be the day that they call upon you, that you shall answer. Let this be the day, Father, that they seek you and they be found. Let this be the day, Father, that when they cry out, God, that you hear. That when they think, God, you are right there in the midst of them, Father. I pray, Father, that no tear that they shall shed, God, will go unnoticed or go unmentioned. But Lord God, I pray, Father, that right now, that you'll begin to lift them up, hold them strong, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, right now, that you begin to guide them, lead them to the place that you have ordained for them to be. I pray, God, that you begin to use them, mold them, shape them, Father, according to your word and to your will. I pray, Father, that right now, that you begin to do a new work in their lives, a new work in their soul, new work in their heart, that, Lord God, that as they begin to come onto this podcast or catch it at a later time, I pray, Father, that you will find them right where they need to be in your presence. And God, bless them, touch them, heal them, deliver them, and set them free. And Father, right now, we avail ourselves. We make ourselves ready. We made ourselves available to you. I pray, Father, that you go into the deepest part of our hearts. Avail. We avail everything that's not like you. Touch, God, the very essence of our soul, that we may be delivered, that we may be healed. I pray, Father, that anything that's not lined up in your word, anything that's not like you, anything that, God, that you desire to pluck out, I pray, God, that you uproot it now by the authority of Jesus Christ. And Father God, make us whole and make us complete, that we may be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout this nation, that our hearts and our soul and our lifestyle is not contaminated, is not destroyed, is not faulty, but Lord God, that as we stand on your word, that you would never, never forsake us, that people may see the glory that you have. They may see not us, God, not our fleshly education or whatever we may desire, our gifts and talents, but God, let them see your anointing, let them see your grace, let them see your mercy, let them see your love, Father. And for that, God, we forever will give you praise, we'll forever give you honor, and we'll forever give you glory. And Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for the people that, God, you have put in my path. I thank you, Father, for the things that you have allowed to happen, Father, good, bad, and indifferent. I thank you, Father, that is shaping and molding us to be what you have ordained and called us to be. I pray, God, that is allowing our hearts to be turned and bent towards you, allowing our minds to be transformed by the renewing of your word. I thank you, Father, that you are going about our lives, setting things in order. And Lord God, I pray, Father, that any trap, any snare, any device or plan of enemy, we thank you that it has been destroyed by the blood of Jesus. And God, I thank you. I praise you. I honor you. I magnify your name. I give you glory, Father. God, I lift you up higher than ever before, God. I lift you up. I lift you up. Your name is great. Your name is glorious. Your name is victorious. And Lord, Father, we'll forever give you honor. God will forever give you praise. We'll magnify your most holy name. And we'll declare your glory upon the earth, that men and women shall see and come to know who this Jesus is that we serve, that they may be able to see the love through our hands. And I pray that God it be done so. Be done so in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you. Worship you, God. Worship you, God. Worship you. Glorify you. I magnify your name. I lift you up. I give you praise. I give you honor. Give you glory. Give you glory. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing right now. Thank you right now, God, for what you're doing in the lives of your people, God. God, I just worship you. I magnify you. I adore you. I lift you up, God. I praise your most holy name. Because, God, you are all that we ever need and we shall ever ask for, God. All of our help and our hope comes from you, as in you. And, Father, we thank you, God, for being the righteous King, being the mighty Lord, God, being a provider, being a way maker, God. Oh, God, I thank you, Jesus. Glorify your name. I glorify you. I magnify your name. I lift you up, God. I lift you up. I lift you up. I lift you up, and I give you praise, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mighty work. Thank you for your marvelous works, God. Thank you for your mighty hand that is still upon our lives, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Glory, hallelujah. We praise your most holy name. Praise your name. Give you all glory. Give you all honor. In the name of Jesus. Yes, God. I just want to spend a little time just giving you praise. Just want to worship you right now. Father, meet every need of your people, God. Heal their bodies, God. Deliver their minds, God. I come against the spirit of suicide now that tries to wrestle with your people, God. I come against the spirit of depression right now. The spirit of fear and doubt. I come against it now by the authority of Jesus Christ. And we speak, God, no weapon, no weapon, God, no weapon formed against them. No weapon shall prosper. I speak it according to your word, according to your grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You do a work in us. You do a new work in us. Do a new thing in us, Father. Do a new thing in us, God. Do a new thing in our hearts, God. Do a new thing in our mind. Do a new thing in our soul, God. That, God, we will be surprised. We will be shocked. That we will it goes beyond our ever imagination. Wow us, God. We thank you. Thank you for that, God. God, we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. 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 Bless your name, God. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful and glad to be in, like the old folks say, in the number one more time. I'm so glad to be among the living and being here today and doing what God has ordained for us to do. I am Pastor Robert J. Douglas, and I'm so grateful that you have decided to join our podcast tonight for the Restoring the Remnant Radio. And I thank you, then. I hope and pray that you will find something, that you will get something that will give hope, that will give you peace, that will bring another level of understanding, another level of insight to your on your Christian journey. And so, without further ado, I want to get into our topic for tonight. I believe that's going to be a good topic. But I want to say this, is that I do believe that it's not by circumstance or it's not by chance that you are here today, even though you may have been invited or you may have just got the notice or got the post. But I do believe that as you may come across this podcast at any given time, as it's recorded and maybe posted back up, that I pray that God gives you a word, give you something that will bless your heart and bless your mind and bless your soul. That is my desire. It's my desire that God speaks a word in your life that it will be able to change and shift in whatever situation, whatever circumstances that you may find yourself in, that you will understand that God gets the victory, and he's already worked it out for you. You already got the victory. Matter of fact, all you have to do is trust him and believe in him. Even though it may be weary, you may grow weary, excuse me, it may be tight, it may be a place or maybe a time, maybe a situation, maybe a circumstance that you're going through and you don't see the way out. You must trust and know that God understands, God knows, and he sees right where you are. And what you need to do is just to trust him and to allow him to do what he's always done, and that is provide for his creation. Amen. 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 So without further ado, I do want to get into our Bible study today. Our church in itself has been going through a 10-day fast that started on Monday, and we are in our fourth day right now. And some have decided to do a full 10-day fast of the Daniel's fast, where it's no meats, no sweets, just basically vegetables, water, not too much juice, but just reading, kind of following in line with the word in Daniel 1, as it just kind of instructs us to go forth. And then there are some that are doing a part day or going as far as they can. And I'm grateful of that as well, because what it does show is that they're in the process of doing the best that they can, and yet still being consistent and being obedient to wanting and desiring the relationship with Christ. So you find us in our time of our church doing this 10-day fast of consecration, and I believe that it won't be the last one. And in that, I believe that we are finding many different things about ourselves and about our desires and our relationship with him, how far off that we are. And I just wanted to encourage you to keep on going, keep on doing the best you can, trusting God through the process. And I believe that at the end, you will see yourself in a better situation. You'll see yourself in a better position and be in a closer relationship with our Lord and Savior. And that is our desire. But without further ado, I do want to start and finish up a series that everything that we've had in our Bible study has been a part of. It has been, in some way or another, has been pointing to this particular topic that I said a few weeks ago, which is the emerging church. The emerging church. Emerging meaning that it's rising up, coming out into view or rising up, so to speak, and talking about the church or the body of Christ and us individually as a collective body and as a personal body. And I do believe that what is happening now, what is taking place, is that many things have been designed, have been orchestrated for the emerging of the church of Jesus Christ, the true church of the body of believers, the true saints of God, and not saying that anyone is better than any other, but coming into the understanding of knowing that a lot of times what we have considered to be holy or Christianity or the way of our spiritual walk, over the years and over times, and we may be guilty of it as well, but we as individuals, we have contaminated what God has designed and really true purpose of what God has ordained because of our own agenda, because of our own, because of our own desires, because of our own thought process, because of our own patterns. And I do believe that God is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, and not only just coming back for a church, whereas their hearts, their minds, and their souls are pure or, not wrecked with sin, that they're constantly in a place of repentance, constantly in a place of forgiveness, constantly in a place where they're constantly trying to clean and wash their hearts with the word of God, with fasting, with praying, with their faith and different things that we do to strengthen our spiritual man. But what has happened over the years and over many decades, and it's going all the way back even into the Old Testament, is how men's agenda, what they thought church would be, or what they tried to create church to be, or religion to be, or this Christian lifestyle to be, their own agenda has gotten away where they've made it so complicated, where now instead of us serving the Lord or worshiping God and giving honor to God and his son Jesus Christ, it is now where the leaders or the bishops or the elders or apostles or prophets are trying to take that place, or trying to take that glory, take that glory from God, or in the stead of God, and in a sense, portraying it as being something that is holy or righteousness. But at the end of it all, we can see the fruit of the Spirit that is produced by that particular mindset, where it's not always a true and sincere representation of Jesus Christ, where you may see a person that may have an attitude, may have different things that just don't seem to line up with the word of God. And I do believe that God is looking for a church, whereas he can find the characteristics of Christ in the lives of every believer. Not saying that they're perfect, not saying that, that they are better than anything else, But a person that has, or a church that has a heart to really, truly, you know, live for God, praise God, to worship God, and to be, you know, just be a vessel, you know, and that's what I believe that God is looking for. And with that being said, you know, God is beginning to touch my spirit and my heart, and drop things there, and talked about the emerging church. And even for our ministry, Restoring the Remnant Ministries out of, you know, Tampa, Florida, is that we make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do. And so with that being said, I did want to kind of touch on something about our Christian life, our Christian walk. If anyone knows me, knows, you know, have been at our church or been, probably if you listen to the podcast that I've done before, majority of the theme, or the, most of the essence theme, is always transformation of ourselves, our hearts and our minds, transforming into, you know, sons and daughters of Christ, or sons and daughters of God. We are the royal heir. We are, you know, we are the sons of God. And transforming and making sure that we live our lives according to the word of God and kind of walk in the pattern that Christ has walked. And so with the introduction that I want to give today and what I want to talk about today, which is still a part of the emerging church, but talk about maturity, or maturity in Christ. Maturity in Christ. And I have a few scriptures that we're going to kind of go over, that I wanted to kind of touch on, different things like that. But the overall essence of it is that we do grow and develop or improve to this goal called maturity. Or as the Bible talks about it, there's that it's a perfected place, or a place of perfection. Now, when I say perfection, it's not a, and I want to kind of put a little bit of addition to that. When I say perfection, I'm not saying the aspects of, yes, we are absolutely perfect. However, I do believe that we should be in a place where we are constantly being perfected, or trying or striving to be perfected and constantly perfecting, meaning that we've identified our areas where we have fallen short and that we're constantly going through the process that we may be better than we were before, you know, being better than where we were, you know, yesterday, last year, 3 days ago. Basically, when God has delivered us from certain struggles and strongholds in our life, that we begin to grow, and the word mature, that we no longer are wrestling with those things that had us bound. You know, we're not wrestling with these things. We have kind of grown into our spiritual walk. Our spirit man has been strengthened, and now we're able to basically walk further and be deeper into our faith, be deeper into our God-given assignment, and understanding what it is that he has called us to be. And it's only by being mature in Christ that we're able to, or will be able to, handle all that I believe God has commissioned for his people. Because I do believe that God has not called us just to be at one place in our life, meaning that he has called us unto salvation, yes. But I believe that we are supposed to be a evolving, a growing individual, transforming into the likeness of Christ, that we may be able to help, or to teach, or to show, or to be an example to others to do likewise. So with that being said, it is a constant perfection, or a perfecting of us growing in Christ. And when we think about it, you know, when we are born again, when we are coming to this level of, you know, coming back into our, you know, kind of understanding the things that our mothers and fathers that were Christians have talked about, and begin to accept that for our personal lives, we are initially born again, but we're born again as a child of God. And when we're first as a child of God, we can't have that arrogance about ourselves, which I remember that I did, and until God really, you know, really began to show me that, you know, I thought I knew Sunday school, you know, before being saved, you know, really accepting Christ as personal Savior. I thought I knew what the scriptures were talking about. I thought I knew, yeah, I understand what, you know, this means and that means. And, you know, I've been taught about it. I grew up in church and so on and so forth. But yet and still, I had to realize that that was my place where I was immature. That place when I first, you know, realized and allowed Christ to truly, wholeheartedly step into my heart, step into my life, that was the place that I was. I had to realize that I was immature. I couldn't get pious. I couldn't get arrogant. I couldn't think that I knew everything that I was. And I remember, and I may, this may help many, I remember when I was, you know, kind of my heart was being turned and switched over to really giving my life over to Christ. I remember some of the Sunday school lessons that was being taught and that I was a part of, and I knew the answers to them. But I had to step back and realize that now it was a deeper revelation. It was a deeper meaning. But more so, I was now responsible for that very thing that I heard and that I understood. And now I had to walk it out and to live my life according to it. So at that time, I realized that I was spiritually immature. And a lot of times people won't admit that they're spiritually mature at those certain seasons, because it is only then when we begin to really just say, hey, you know what? I don't know it all. I don't know everything that God has for me. I don't know all the mysteries of what God has, because we'll never know the mind of God. But I will say this, that when we begin to plug into the Word of God, we begin to really just kind of seek Him and begin to come into a relationship, personal relationship, in prayer, fasting, all these different things that we're doing, we will begin to become stronger and stronger. And at the time when we only needed to have, you know, just like a baby as they're growing up, is that a baby at one time can only really, his stomach can only digest, you know, milk, you know, certain types of milk. And as he begins to grow, you know, that milk is not no longer good enough. It's not enough to give him the nourishment or to satisfy the hunger that he has. He now needs to start going from, you know, maybe more something that's more stable, like vegetables or something, star food, potatoes, whatever the case may be, till he gets to the place of actually getting meat, getting a true balanced diet. And that's what we as Christians have to understand, that we're constantly striving to be more seasoned in the Word, seasoning our walk, seasoning our pattern. So as we go on through time past, we really should evolve. We should grow. You know, we should grow from where we were. I would say that our last year, we should have spiritually grown from last year up to now. And the reason I say that we should have grown, because I believe that this year has allowed many people to face many different obstacles and many different, you know, I would say like this, thorns and thistles in their life that has really caused them to kind of keep on moving, keep on going. You can't stop. You can't, you know, complain about the pain that you're feeling. There is an end goal in mind. There's an end place you have to be. You have to keep on growing. You have to keep on progressing. So what that has caused many of us to do, it has caused many of us to forgive and in some aspects to forget certain things so that we can move forward in Him. Okay. So we can move forward in Him. So one of the verses of scriptures that you can put down is kind of talk about this is going to be Ephesians 4, 14 and 15 that says, be no longer children, but grow up in Christ. That we're no longer children, you know, doing the things that children do, you know, that we begin to grow up in Christ, that we begin to understand and allow. He begins to teach us. He shows us. He begins to even chastise us and begin to convict us so that those mistakes that we have made as we were children or spiritual children, so to speak, that we no longer make those mistakes. If you think about your child, when they're a child, you know, they may do things that they don't really are, they're not aware of what they may do. Like, say, for example, they may pull on something or get into something that they don't really need to do. Now, you knowing the end of it, you know, that's going to do harm to their body, or it's not the right thing to do or the right thing to say. So you begin to get on them, or you begin to teach them, or to begin to train them to say, hey, you're not supposed to say that. And it may be a few times where they may, you know, still kind of stumble on it. But hopefully, as you continue to be diligent with it, either discipline and kind of, you know, turning up that heat a little bit, if it's to kind of keep it from being a disobedience type of situation, they begin to grow. They begin to nourish. They begin to say, okay, hey, I ain't supposed to do this. Okay. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to understand truly, we must understand and have the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have to understand who He is and what was the purpose of His coming down this earth and dying for our sins. We must know that. That is an important thing to know. And I know that the things that I'm going through right now may be basic for some of you, maybe a little bit of, I already know that kind of thing. That's fine. I pray that you just kind of bear with me as we continue to go on. But in the essence of it, we have to know who Jesus Christ is. We have to understand. And here's the thing that I believe, and I'm going to say it like this. When I was growing up, I knew what Christ did. I knew who He was. But the understanding of knowledge of knowing who Christ is when you come into the fold, or you begin to allow your heart to be transformed or to be opened, I would say, There is a deeper revelation when you begin to understand who Christ is personally. Personally, as far as the number one, understanding the love that he has for you, understanding, you know, the grace and the mercy that he has extended upon us, understanding the power of the blood that was shed for our sins, understanding that we have healing through him, understanding our position of authority as we are seated in heavenly places. We are seated in Christ, who is now on the right hand of the Father. So there is a deeper understanding of just knowing Jesus as Mary's baby. There's a deeper revelation that we must grow to than knowing, Jesus of Nazareth. We must grow into understand and know him. Number one, know him for ourselves. Know him as if we are, it's like an actual fleshly being, which technically, in a sense, that's kind of what it is. Knowing him, just the same relationship and talking to him, you know, and having that fellowship with him in the spirit realm, so that we may understand him and understand some of the things that he did. We may not fully understand the mind of him, understand the purpose of it, but the word of God and faith and revelation will give us insight to many different things that we can look at him and pattern our lives and kind of, you know, it's that big thing that, you know, they used to say, what would Jesus do? You know, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? You know, it was a big, you know, they used to have the bracelets and the trinkets and all those things. But we have to take it a step further than that and take that to heart for ourselves and understand, okay, if that's what Jesus did and it got him to where he needs to be, we're required to do likewise. We're required to pattern ourselves that way, okay? 2 Thessalonians 1:3. That the Thessalonians grew exceedingly in faith. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. I think I may want to go into that one a little bit deeper. Second Thessalonians 1:3. And just for the sake of just reading, you get a clearer understanding, just want to read this a little bit, and we kind of read it just a little bit more in detail. Second Thessalonians 1, I'm going to read this. I'm going to read out a little bit. Starting at the first verse, I'm reading the King James Version. It says that Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Give me one second here. Okay. The third verse, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Okay, I want to go back to the third verse where it says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. What they are talking about here, and this is interesting because he's talking about and celebrating the growth of faith. Their faith is growing. The growth of faith and how it's growing exceedingly, and the charity of each other, or charity being love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. That is one of the things that I believe that is, it shows us the maturity in ourselves. It is the that, like it says in the Thessalonians, grew exceedingly or abundantly. They grew in faith. That is another thing that we will see as a sign or as a mark of our spiritual growth. You know, I believe that everything that happens in our life is designed for one of that goal is to grow our faith. So instead of us really complaining about the trials and the situations that we may come, I'm gonna be honest with you, this life is hard. I ain't gonna lie. It's hard. It ain't easy. We're gonna have trials. We're gonna have situations. We're gonna have tribulations. We're gonna have things that's not going to go the way that we want. And we're going to be faced with adversities that we would rather not deal with. If I look back on all the things that many people that I've seen deal with, I always wondered, you know, why would God put them through that particular situation? And here's the thing that I realized is that sometimes God knows exactly what to do for each person to grow their faith. Meaning this is that sometimes you may have faith in one season of your life in one particular area, but that faith that you have, is there's so much more to it. There's so much, there's a whole nother level, a whole nother side of it, a whole nother path, a whole nother, hack, so to speak, you know, to it. There's so much more that we have access to. And what happens is that as we begin to go through these different trials, we begin to pull upon the faith of what we knew. And here's what may help somebody. We pull upon the faith of what we knew. We may know God as just being he may be able to take care of a bill or take care of whatever your faith is in that. He may be able to, you know, hey, God is a provider, right? He's a provider. And then when we're faced with a challenge, as we see it in other people's lives, like I can say in my father's life, I know God to be a healer, not only in my life, in the lives of my father, in the lives of my whole family. I've seen God hand at work where when I have prayed or they have prayed or they have trusted or they have believed, and I've seen God miraculously do something that the doctors do not have any type of understanding or any type of knowledge of what took place. I'm talking about cancer, you know, evidence of cancer in someone's body. And the next thing you know, within a matter of a certain amount of days, that cancer is completely gone as if it was never been there. Or having so many different sicknesses and illnesses that the doctors have already, you know, put on your deathbed, you know, see, prepare to take you to hospice or whatever, and they're prepared for you to, we don't know how to fix this. The only thing that you can do, we can make you comfortable that you may, you know, live the rest of the remaining of your life in a way. And I have seen the hand of God cancel the assignment of death in so many ways. I have seen it. And from me seeing that, I now have a deeper level of faith towards those things, being a provider and all the things that I've seen God be a restorer. I've seen God do these things. Many of you probably have seen God in more ways than I have. And here's the interesting part about this that I like about that scripture. And if I may kind of just, you know, kind of expound on it just in a little bit, is that the interesting part about it is that they had love and charity toward each other. And that's one thing that we have to understand about being spiritually mature: love and charity toward each other. Did you know that your faith grows by the testimonies of the saints that have gone through some maybe other obstacles that you haven't gone through? There is something about hearing a testimony about something that somebody has gone through where they have trusted God with every fiber of their being. And I'm not talking about where really what they had, you know what, God, I wanted to throw in the towel. I wanted to give up. I wanted to curse you. But there was something that I said, let me just hold on to his hand and see how this thing is going to turn out. And God never failed him. And they saw that he saw the evidence of what God had designed for that particular situation to work out. And even though I may not have gone through that trial, or we may not have gone through that situation, or we may not have gone through that process, or gone through that thing, or gone through that whatever it was that they've gone through, I can learn from that instance, or I can learn from that incident and begin to use that same faith. God, if you did it for them, you are no respecter of persons, you can do it for me. And that is the love and the respect that we have to have. We should never get to a place where we are jealous of each other when God begins to move in their life. I'm a cheerleader. I want people to be blessed. Sometimes I want them to be blessed before I am, you know, and I want mine too. You know, I want God to bless, you know, I would love for God to bless the members of our church, you know, with whatever their hearts desire. I want God to truly, truly, blessed them in a way that they are able to see the blessings and the glory of God evident in their lives. I don't want them to feel like God has forsaken them. I don't want them to feel like God has let them down. I want God to completely show up and show out in their lives, even if he has to, you know, if he has to use me in a process to help them along the way. That's my desire, because I realize that, you know, if God can bless them, then my time is going to come. It's just their turn right now. If God is going to, you know, they may get the one that gets the million-dollar mansion. Praise God. Hallelujah. Invite me for dinner. That's great. You know, not a problem. I know that God can do the same thing for me. I know that God can do that same, the same blessings, the same thing that he has. He can do it for me. And if he doesn't do it for me, he may have something better in store. It may not be, you know, the great riches. It may not be something that, but he knows my path. He knows what I desire. He knows what purpose and plan he has for my life. And so I trust him to know that, God, if this thing doesn't come out the way that I think it's going to come out, I know that you got something better for me along the way, or something that you have already ordained for me to have that is mine. Ain't nobody can take it. Nobody can strip it away. So I don't have to spend time being jealous about someone else, being upset about God moving in their life, how God is using them. I don't have to do that. That's me being spiritually mature. Praise God for what they're got, you know. And here's the thing that we must understand, you know, here's about another level of being spiritually mature, is that when we begin to get to that place where we're matching our lives with other, I'm coming way off subject, but praise God, I think that's going to be a blessing to somebody. When we get to that place of matching our lives against somebody else, you know what I'm saying? When we look at, and here's the thing that we have to be careful of, and many people have to be careful of, don't dictate or judge, you know, what God is doing, or if they're blessing another person by what you see on social media. The devil is alive. Don't go by social media. Don't go by, you know, you may see people that may put certain things up on social media, Facebook or whatever the case may be. They may have got a new car. They may have got a new house. They may have gotten married. They may have traveled somewhere. They may have did these things. They may have started a business. They may have, you know, are opening up in certain opportunities, or, you know, they got this purse that you wanted, whatever it is. Do not get feel some type of way in your spirit that, oh, God is doing it for them. He's not doing it for me. The devil is a lie. You got to kill that vain imagination, and you got to grow up. You got to grow up into this, the understanding of knowing that everything that's on Facebook or everything on social media, yes, it may be from God in some instances. It may be, you know, God has given them, but you do not know the cost that that person has had to pay to get to where they are. You don't know what they have lost to get there. You don't know what they had to sacrifice to get there. And whatever, one of my sisters that you know, that I used to work with, she put something on a Facebook post, and it was like, that's straight. I like it. What she said was, is that I may say it wrong, but she says that when God begins to bless me, you must trust and know that I waited patiently for it. And it may be something great. She waited patiently for it. She waited on God to do these things, sacrifice whatever it was. And that's the attitude that we have to do, or that's the way we have to be. We praise God for whatever people may have. You know, we praise God for their growth in faith. You know, we praise God for whatever they're doing. You know, say, well, praise God. You know, we know the things that are God, of God, because if it's God has brought it to them, then only God can take it away. But if man has done it, man can take it away any given time. It may not always last. Amen. But when we're walking in this place of spiritual maturity, we cannot have any type of jealousy, animosity, even in the things of God. And surprisingly enough, this thing can fall into those that are believers. Yes, they can. They can fall into people that are even pastors or prophetesses or different things like that, where we are, you know, we're looking at what we see other people and trying to gauge. And I would be transparent and say this, is that for many years before, I would try to, and it wasn't that I was trying to, you know, trying to say, well, God, why are you doing it for them, not doing it for me? It was like I was really trying to gauge my growth as I was becoming a minister, an elder, so on and so forth, even in my years of a pastor. And so you'll look and see the different things that many people are doing or have the opportunity to do. And you know that, say, well, God, man, it would be great to do that. I would love to be doing this ministry or doing that and those things and so on and so forth. And what I've learned to do is this, I praise God for where they are and where they got to. Okay. I praise God for it. I say, well, praise the Lord. You know, they have charted a path that is in line with what God has desired for me to do in my assignment, whatever it may be. And what I mean by this, I'm going to say like this. Okay. Yeah. You know, this person may have started a food bank. And I'm like, oh God, I really want to follow that. But here's the thing is that if they've done that, I celebrate them for that. They've gotten a new building. I celebrate them for it. God bless you. I'll come. We'll come fellowship with you. We'll come help bring that building, even though we may be, you know, over here or doing this or whatever. And we may need these ourselves. I'm going to sow into what you're doing and what God is doing for you, because I believe in the vision that God has for your life. And when I do that, I know that God is going to open up doors for myself as well. And here's the thing about it is that not only should I celebrate them, but I can say, you know what, bro? I'm so glad you did that. I'm so glad that God has blessed you with that. Hey, how about you just keeping it prayer? If it happened to you, I'm touching and agreeing with you that God's going to do it in his own time for us. Amen. And leave it at that. And sometimes you'll be surprised how the blessings of God will open up when you're humble and you begin to allow God to do what he needs to do. But don't get covetous about what other people are doing. Don't get feeling some kind of way. Don't get sidetracked. You know, they're growing. Don't even get into that. You just focus on your assignment. You grow in God. You grow in Christ, because there may be some stuff that's inside of you that God is trying to get out. And I am a firm believer that I believe that before God will take you to any place that is great, he wants to make sure you know how to behave yourself when you get there. So I don't want God, I'm talking for me personally, y'all can grab hold of this till you want to. I don't want to go into no place that God knows I'm going to tear it up when I get up in there. I don't want to be so arrogant. So, God, you ain't put me here. You ain't put me here. And then he begins to release his grace and mercy. I said, okay, if you want that, okay, go ahead then. I'm going to let you know how that's going to work. Because the minute you fall, you're going to fall hard. You won't have grace and mercy to get there. It's going to be a tough lesson for you. So I'd rather you learn it now and preparing to getting there before you get there. And you have the mindset it's like you're there already. Amen. All right. We're going to move along. Praise God. Hope somebody got something out of that. Philippians 1:9. Paul prayed for their love to abound more and more. Here's another thing about spiritual maturity. Now, Paul was teaching the church about, you know, about that. But one thing that I look into that scripture, and that's the reason I put it in the notes here, is that having that love and just that great, man, that just constant joy of, man, I love to see people grow in their faith, grow in their love of Christ, grow into the places that they knew that they couldn't get there to themselves. Even if they go farther than I could ever go, I love it. I have seen people actually in help, not to no accolade to myself, people that were in a position where they did not know anything about Christ, anything. And God used me or a friend or somebody else and just introduced them to, you know, to salvation. And from that introduction of salvation, okay, they grab hold to that thing. They made it their life, and God just, boom, shot them high. I mean, just did great works in their lives. I mean, was doing different things. They were ministering different places, and God was really using them. I praise God for that, because that is the very evidence of what we preach and what we teach and what we talk about. When, say, for example, and even thinking about it in Philippians 1:9, you have Paul, which is he's praying for their love to abound more and more. He's praying for them to grow and grow and grow in love more and more, that they'll begin to understand and just kind of just grow in that love. And that love is just kind of going around like a pot. Now, this coming from somebody that was at one time a champion or a instigator to kill the disciples. He was the one that was, okay, yeah, we're going to kill them. We need to put that out for this. He was the one that put it in the ear. Yeah, we need to stone Stephen because of what he's doing. He was one that would chase out the apostles and spread them out where they would be fearful and scared and all these different things. The very same man that seemed to not have a love for what God was for these disciples and what they were doing in the love of Christ is the very same man that's now praying and says, you know what? I pray that you have the love abound more and more. Grow in grace. Grow in grace. Okay. And so what we find is when we fail to grow into these things of maturity, these were just some scriptures I want to kind of just put in your time of study. But when we find ourselves not growing in these things, okay, when we find ourselves not, you know, not really progressing, that's why it's very important that even for us as you know, ministers or children of God, we should always look for opportunities that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about it in a way like, you know, from behind a pulpit or on a podium, podcast, whatever the case may be. I'm talking about just sharing your life, sharing the love of Jesus Christ and your testimony to those that don't know him. And inviting them or introducing them or asking them if they want to accept Christ as their personal savior. Okay. And then from there, very important that they don't just stay there, but they begin to now grow into the purpose and the plan to kind of move from salvation, move from that place of, you know, I'm feeling kind of bad. I know that my life is going to be an end. I'm going through this particular situation. I need something emotionally. I need something, a hope. And they begin to be introduced to Jesus Christ, and he begins to come in and begins to start fixing those things in their heart. Here is right now a critical point where they now have to start growing and maturing, because at that time, just like a child, at that time, they're very vulnerable. They're very weak. You want them to grow into, you know, what they are. They're going to stumble. They're going to have bumps and bruises along the way. But we should have the spirit of love that we're able to lead them, to teach them, to guide them, and to be transparent and to let them know the mistakes that we have made and where and how God has basically given us grace and mercy, which is the same thing that you have access to get you to that place where he is desiring to get you to. Because if not, what will happen is if they don't grow spiritually, it becomes to be a place where it comes to be more of a stumbling block. And the sad part about it is, that's why I believe that God is birthing out new birthing out a true intent of people that are real about this walk of Jesus Christ, this walk of Christianity, you know, and really just truth, where, you know, it's not this, you know, once saved and you're completely perfect, you're not going to make any mistakes. No. The enemy is going to come at you hard. He's going to come at you with all forces that he can. His job is to utterly destroy you, to kill you, and to tear you out of the hand of God. That is his assignment. And you got to do with everything you can. You got to fight, get up. You may fall. You may get cut. You may get bruises. Get up and stand firm and keep on going. That's the generation that we have to talk to. That's what we have to do to these now, and continue to push them into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowledge of knowing these different things, understanding their value, understanding their worth, understanding what God has designed for them, understanding that they have the authority to, you know, to tread on serpents and scorpions. They have the authority to break shackles. They have, you know, the Spirit of the Lord can fall upon them. They are anointed to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That is where we need to push them to be, to begin to push them to grow, to become mature, to become more productive in their walk. 1 Peter 2 and 2, it says that desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You know, that we desire the, you know, not only the sincere, pure milk of the word, but we want to get into that sincerity of what this gospel is. You know, milk does the body good, okay? But we grow from milk, and then once we begin to grow and we begin to mature, we learn the basics of these things, then we want to know more. We want to grow into more. We want to expand into more. We want God to use us more. We want to hear what God's purpose and plan for us. We want to know, you know, what is it that he desires of us. You know, we begin to have that zeal, you know. And the thing about it is, with that zeal, when we come into salvation, we have this zeal, we have this fire that we want fire for God. We want dogs and cats to be saved. We laying hands and praying for everybody. Can I pray for you? But what happens is that minute you get rejected, or that minute you stumble, or that minute you don't overcome that temptation that you have inside of you, that's when you go back. I've been there. I've done it. I've been there and I've done it. I'm going to share my testimony, and this may help somebody else. I remember when I was coming into being a getting, you know, kind of growing into Christ, gave God my heart, you know, but I still had a problem with lust. I still had a problem, need to be delivered at that time. This was years and years ago. And so I called myself, you know, I was a Sunday school teacher and kind of, you know, getting ordained to be a deacon and was, you know, I would be on my lunch break, start a new job, would be on my lunch break and was studying the word of God and doing these different things and, you know, really just having that zeal. And, you know, and then there was a young lady that came up to me and she was like, well, I see you, you know, you're a Christian. I said, yeah, you know, and so what church you go to? And we had a conversation and she was, you know, she was pretty, you know, she was, you know, had, you know, everything that I should not have wanted, she had it. Everything that I used to have wanted at that time, she had it. I put it like that. However, what I realized was that I thought at that time that I was spiritually mature. Hear me. Thought that I was spiritually mature and that I could handle, you know, kind of just the relationship or the fellowship that I had with her. And that when the line, there was a line that was there. But when we came to that line, I thought that I would be able to, like, you know what, back away from it. Unfortunately, I did not. And the temptation was so strong because I have not been delivered from that. I still was growing, still wasn't spiritually mature, you know, still wrestling with a lot of different things. And it became a stumbling block for me. Now, I'm grateful that God's grace and mercy, it didn't stumble me all the way out. But I can truly say this. Is that God began to have his grace and mercy on my life. God began to cover me. He began to show me, convict my heart, convict her heart and different things. And he began to do what he needed to do to get me to where I needed to be. And, you know, separated that particular situation, you know, and I had to kind of grow from there and learn from there. But one thing that I regretted was the fact that I made that mistake. And the conviction was so strong in my heart that I just was stuck right there. When you are spiritually mature, you realize that the plan of the enemy is that he wants to always keep you in that place where you are stagnant. He doesn't want you to grow and to mature. See, we grow from the mistakes that we made, but also we grow in understanding that God is always able, you know, if we have a true and repentant heart, he can raise us up from that level of where we were and use us greatly. Matter of fact, the very thing that we thought that the enemy was trying to destroy us with, you know, destroy our character, destroy our soul, destroy all these different things, is the very same thing that God would use to bring deliverance, will bring healing, will bring a strong word of testimony, just like I'm saying right now. I would not have had that experience to share with you if I did not have gone through that. And so I understand and can see now from afar off those little areas where, okay, yeah, this is about to be a stumbling block. Got to be careful of this. Be careful of that. Watch out for this. Don't do this. Don't do that. Nope, nope. You don't need to have Bible study at day house. No, you need to do this. Nope. I can now say from experience and from what God has blessed me to experience and how I've grown from that, I can say with experience how I can help somebody else that is going through that same fault. Likewise, many of us can do that as well. And it is a level of maturity that we come out that now we're no longer held by that, what we have went through, but we have grown from that. We know that God has forgiven us. We are covered under the blood and we go on from faith to faith and from glory to glory and allow God to use whatever was meant to trick us, was meant to kill us, meant to destroy us. We use that as a weapon against the enemy to give our testimony in transparency to say, you know what? The devil is a lie. I know the hand of God can work. Here's what happened to me and this is how God delivered. This is how God saved. That's being mature. That I'm not held by what I did. I'm held by what Christ did. I'm gonna say that again. I'm not held by the sin that I did. I'm held by the sin that Christ took on the cross and died for my sin. And I have to understand that and believe that and stand on that and move from that. And go forward. Amen. So in Philippians 3, 12 and 14, and I was talking about that perfection, and this is about being transparent, that even in Philippians 2 and 14, you'll find that even Paul, he talks about as mature as he was, he did not even consider himself to have achieved that perfection, achieved that maturity, such that he could, you know, to the point where he can, I'm about to close on this. Paul basically was to that place of, you know what, I can't say that I've arrived. I've gotten to that place where I am. I'm just, I've learned what I need to learn. I've gotten what I need to get. I'm good. I'm straight. I don't need nothing. No, he couldn't say that he's gotten to that level of maturity. Okay. And we as Christians, growing Christians, or you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, deacons, whatever, you're a child of God, children of God, God's creation. We cannot get to that place, like I said before, of like, okay, yeah, I don't need that. I don't need to pray. I don't need to fast. I don't need to do this. I don't need to read my word. I don't need to do all these things because I've arrived. I've gotten it. I've gone through seminary classes. I've gone through Juanita Bynum's prophetess training class. I've been ordained as an apostle. I've been, you know, commissioned as a missionary or whatever it is. You know, they called me to be a bishop. I'm a pastor of a church, many churches. I'm traveling over to Africa. I'm there. I think I'm in the inner circle now. I think I'm good. No, the devil is a lie. You're not good. Matter of fact, you're probably by the most immaturest one. If you get to that level in your mind, thinking that you're perfect, that you've gotten it, you are you're spiritually immature. Matter of fact, you're spiritually retarded. I'm gonna put it like that. Put it like that. Because here's the thing, even Paul himself says that I can't sit there and say that I've achieved that level of perfection, that I am just smart and I got it. But I constantly have to strive to get better. I strive to get these things. And we as Christians, I know for myself, I constantly say, you know, God, I may not have did that right, but Lord, help me to do better. Help me to keep my heart more pure. Help me to keep my heart in the right position. I may have said something wrong. I may have did something wrong. Lord, help me to do that so that I don't become a stumbling block for somebody else. Lord, did I have the wrong thought? God, take that away from me so that I don't, you know, become a stumbling block for somebody else. Okay? It doesn't matter, you know, that I'm a pastor of a church or whatever it may be. It doesn't matter all that stuff I've gotten, you know, was able to go to Africa. That stuff don't even matter. There was just nothing. It was by the grace of God that I was able to go and do those things. But just because I got the trophies doesn't mean that I don't stop progressing. Because at any given time, Satan is coming around and he's looking for us to get into that level of pride that he want to go and just take our legs from under us. That's what he desires to do. That's why you'll see in so many ways, if you just look out across this nation, across, and I'm not saying all, some mega churches and some mega ministers that have kind of lost that focus, kind of lost their way, you're seeing that now they're starting to deal with things that is a shame to them, and they have to now kind of double back, step back, and say, "Yeah, let me kind of do this." You know, sometimes somewhere they got to that place of being uncovered, you know, or not really pressing in, you know, and they're now starting to see that little small place of arrogance or pride or whatever it may be, or permissive will that they think that they may have. That little small area is the very area that Satan can come in. And he begins to magnify it. He begins to spread out. And he begins to put little things here and there. What thing might be like a little, it might have, you know, came as a thought. Then it now becomes a feeling. Then now it becomes a whole fleshly desire. And now it now comes a stronghold. And you just, now you stuck. You know, but there was an entry area somewhere that crept in that was unguarded. That crept in. And a lot of times it comes in through pride. There was an area that crept in and it just wreaked havoc. It wreaked havoc. You know, I'm gonna say this: when anybody has a house, okay, a few things, the smallest things for a person that has a house, the smallest things can do the most damage. Okay. And what I mean by that, if you think about a person that has a house, right? And you're standing in a house, brand new house. You got all your furniture in there. You got your wooden floors in there. You got, you know, your walls are nicely painted with the whatever. You got nice marble countertops. You got the best appliances. You got all these different things in your home. It looks nice. It looks nice. The smallest things can damage that whole house or start to damage that house. One spark can burn that whole house down. One entry area where water can get in. Say, for example, you have a leak in your roof. That entry area where that water can get in can start a whole series of different things that can take place in that family. I mean, in that one area where that leak comes in. Wood rot, mildew, okay? It weakens the support joist. Then now it causes some other situations causes breathing situation where it can, you know, make your family sick because of the mold and mildew that's now in the spores that are in there, just from one area where it's compromised. Termites. I work in a company that we do pest control, and I'm learning that even these little small little creatures, 1, 2, 3 of them, they go out, scout out, find areas where they can find places where a little area where a piece of wood is, and it doesn't necessarily have to be wood. It can be composite material that has a sliver of wood in it. They get into that layer area, they call their friends, and now you have a whole wall that's been damaged by termites. And you got to pay now to get all that taken care of, all that fixed, all that done. Just one small thing. That's the same thing that happens with our spirit. One small level of pride, one small level of jealousy, one small level of lust, one small level of sin can come in and destroy where we are. And it can also be a stumbling block to other people. And we must be careful. That's why we must strive. And that's why I'm so glad that Paul speaks of that in 3:12 and 14, that I'm not to that place where I'm perfect. I'm not to that place where I don't make no mistakes and I got it all together. I'm not there yet. I'm constantly striving. I'm constantly buffeting my body. I'm constantly trying to go through prayer. And you know, you may see me do all these great things, but in my private time, God is drilling me. And as we constantly strive for that, we grow and we get better. We do better things. Matthew 26, 3 and 35. Peter thought he had reached a level where he would never deny Christ. But that very night, he denied him 3 times. That level, he said, I would not forsake you. Surely, God, he said something powerful. When Christ asked him, who do they say? You are the son of the living God. He said, Peter gave a word. Peter was stood up and he's like, hey, I know who you are, the son of the living God. He probably said in the, sermon way, I don't know. But he knew you are the son of the living God. And Christ said to him, upon this rock, Peter, I shall build my church. But he also knew, he said it, then the gates of hell shall not prevail. But he also knew that when that chicken crow 3 times, you're going to deny me. No, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. I'm not going to, when that thing crow 3 times, you're going to deny me. It's not going to happen. Come to find out when it happened, first time, and ladies, the girl came up to him or whatever it was, came up to him. Aren't you one of the disciples? No, I don't know the man. No, yeah, you are one of them. No, I don't know the man. Doggone it, I said, I don't know the man. Cursed him. Denied him. Denied him. Peter denied him 3 times, just as Christ has spoken. However, he repented, he got back, and Peter was one of them, went along with Paul and all the other disciples, was one of the one major characters in the Bible that has spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world, because he had to get it. He had to say, you know what, I made my mistakes, but man, it's by the grace of God that I'm here. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Christians never reach the point where we are so mature that we cannot fall. I want to say this, and I want this to, it's going to be my end note. Never get to that place where you feel that you cannot fall. Sometimes, you know, it may feel like you're flying, but in actuality, you're falling. You know, you never want to get to a place of pride and a place where you just, you know, you're just so arrogant that you got it all, or you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Let us never get there. Because when we do that, we begin to show how immature that we really are. And I say this from just my own personal conviction, is that I don't want to get to a place where God can't speak to me. I don't want to get to that place where God can't correct me, or God can't change me, or God can, you know, he lose. I don't want the glory of God. I don't want the anointing of God to leave my life, because I'll be honest with you, it's because of the anointing. It is because of his grace. It is because of his mercy. It is because of whatever that he is using over my life to do the things, maybe small to some, maybe major to many, but it's because of him that I'm able to do whatever he's required me to do. It's because of his grace and mercy. Him alone, nothing that I could contribute to, you know, that we are able to do these things. And we can never lose sight of that, because the minute we lose sight of that, then we get to that place of, okay, God, I don't need you anymore. And that's the worst place for anybody to be, is when they get elevated or moved up to a place, moved up into a position, or moved up to wherever they are, or moved up on a job or whatever it may be, and you fail to be a student, you fail to be humble, you fail to just really appreciate, you know, how you got there and the process you got there, because it wasn't you. God opened that door. And we must always be humble and make sure that we keep ourselves in a position where we learn. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. If God has a word out of your mouth that he wants to speak to me, and it's a sure enough word from God, I'm going to listen. I've had kids prophesy to me. I've had people that were not, God used someone that was not not even in the church prophesy to me. You know, because at that time where I was, you know, I was just walking along and he just used somebody that I was trying to help. And God gave a word, you know, and I knew it was a word from God because that person didn't know me. He didn't know who I was. And I remember it was years ago. He didn't know who I was. And I was just basically was a homeless person. I was just helping him out. They'd never seen me before in their life. And he sure enough confirmed about two or three things that I was asking God to give me in information on. You know, but if I was all pride and arrogance and nah, I can't hear nothing from you. Whatever, you know, I would have missed something, a blessing that God had for me. Amen. So my goal is tonight is to make sure that we understand. I hope that you got something out of this lesson. I hope something that you bless you. And even when you are going through certain trials and tribulations or situations that you're feeling that you are seem like you're failing in life, just know that God is teaching you. He's training you. He's training you to reign. He's allowing you to experience these things in life so that you can get to yourself to a place where you can begin to lean closer into him, lean into your faith, lean into the word of God, and begin to grow that way. Sometimes we're looking for people to get us out of a fix or get us out of a situation, to get us out of get us out of a mess. And sometimes God wants us to sit there for a little bit. You may not have meant to get there, but sometimes God may want us to marinate there for a minute. Because what he's doing is he's orchestrating certain things in your life. Sometimes he may put you in a place where it seems like a holding cell, and we have to understand and we have to be mature about it. He may put you in a hole. Excuse me. He may put you in a place where it seems like it's a spiritual holding cell, where you feel like you're not being used, or you're not being trained, or you're not being taught, you're not being fed, or you're not whatever it is you think you're not being. The thing about it is you got to check yourself, because why are you requiring other people to do something that God has ordained for you to do? And what I mean by that, in a way, is that why are you waiting for somebody to feed you when you got two legs, two hands? You can go in there and get yourself something to eat. You can open up that word of God yourself and get a word. You can press into his presence and get a word. You can, you know, go on a fast like we're doing, or whatever it may be, wherever God leads you, how he leads you, you can go and do those things and God will sure enough speak to you. If your heart and your mind is right, don't put it all in one person. But what I'm learning is that the minute that we get to that place, well, God can't use us anymore. God can't use us any longer. We're too hardy in our spirit, hardy in our mind. Why would God need us? He will take that same grace, he will take that same anointing and shift it over to somebody that he chooses for that particular season. I've seen it happen many times before. You know, think about Saul and David. He was anointed to be king. He did right wrong in the sight of God. He was disobedient. He didn't follow what he was supposed to do. Thought he was, you know, just because he's king, he's able to do this, even though God put him there. God stripped that anointing from him and began to bless David with it. It happens. Amen. But I hope that you've got something out of this. I hope that God is really, I stand in faith, come in agreement with you with what God is doing. And whatever trial and circumstance that you may be in, God is giving you the anointing and the ability to get out of it. All you got to do is trust him. Look for those areas. Look for those places. And be content where you are. And what I mean by that is if you have a struggle and it may be hard for you to bear, know that God knows exactly how much you can take. He knows exactly your strength. He knows how much you can put on your shoulders. And the thing about it is, he knows that the evidence of Jesus Christ should be operating in you. So great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So this is Pastor Robert J. Douglas. I hope that you have gotten something out of this lesson. I pray that God has blessed you. I pray that he has given you another insight on some of these things. And as we begin to go into prayer, if there be anyone that desires to know him as a personal savior, it's very simple to join in the body of Christ. If you want to be saved, all you have to do is repeat after me. Father, I'm a sinner. Today, I make you my Lord. I know that you have died on the cross for my sin, and I believe that you are the Son of the living God to take away the sins of this world. And Father, right now, I know that when you died on the cross, you died for my sins. And Father, right now, I ask that you forgive me of my sins. Father God, I pray that you allowed your Holy Spirit to lead and guide me to grow into what you have ordained and called me to be. And right now, I take the authority. I plead the blood of Jesus over every circumstances, over every generational curse over my life. I cancel the assignment of the enemy over my family and over my family's family. I break all generational curses by the blood of Jesus Christ, that I shall grow into him and be whom you have called. If you have said that prayer, you have now been accepted in the kingdom of God. And it says that all of heaven rejoices as the sound of one that confesses Christ as their personal Savior. And I welcome you, my friend. I welcome you, my brother, into this kingdom. But for today, I hope that you've gotten something out of this message. If there's anything that we can do here as a ministry, feel free to join us on our podcast on Sunday at 11:30. Also, you can also go to our website, which is www.rtrmi.org. And if you feel that this ministry has been a blessing to you, by all means, we need your support so that we can continue to spread the gospel throughout the nation, throughout the world. But right now, I know that today, tonight, this moment, this time, you have been healed, you have been delivered, but praise the Lord, you have been restored. This is Pastor B, and I'm out.